What are you putting on now? Cows or peacocks?
Peacocks.
Dhruv, you want to help? My thought was, should read and hear. What is known as Lita Astakam, also known as bowing down to Sri Lalita, Lalita Pranam Stotra. There's quite a few different translations of this. The line that's repeated again and again is by Srila Rupa Goswami. Devim Kunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. Devim Kunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. So, to Lalita. Lalitam means charming also. And Namami, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lalita, who is very charming. Su means very, very charming. So extra charming. And so Lalita Devi Gunai. Gunai means who has all virtues or qualities. In one translation it is interesting, both these translations of said to be Kusakrata Prabhu's, but they're quite different. So here in this one it says, Gunai, Devim Gunai, basically saying wonderful qualities, charming qualities, or from my respectful obeisances to Lalita, was many wonderful qualities. So that's how it's translated here. Namami, offer obeisances to Lalita Devi, who has many wonderful qualities. And here I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi. Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Gama Bindu Namachano Pakararanikrita Deha Laksham Utanga Sori Das Vishesha Bara Bharata Pragalbam Devim Gunaisu Lalitam Lalitam Namami. 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 I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, who possesses such wonderful qualities, who worships the perspiration from Sri Radha Mukunda's feet, and who out of great love is very bold and arrogant. So, what does it mean? She worships the perspiration of Sri Radha Mukunda's lotus feet. What does that mean? What is the meaning of that? That's not something that we hear very often.
She drops from the feet.
Right. But usually the feet are considered the lowest part of the body, and perspiration or sweat from the feet is not very, it's not appreciated very much. But that is the worshipable deity of Srila Lita Devi. That means that this is her greatest happiness, is the service of the, any service to the feet of Mother Mukunda, Mother Madhav. And here, it also says that she is Prakar. I don't think the word Prakar is used, but it means that she's very strong. She acts boldly, because for there to be rasa, or the loving exchanges to be generated, there has to be varieties of moods. If everyone is in the same mood, then there is no rasa generated. There is no sweetness, there is no taste generated if everyone is in the same mood. So out of her love, or born of her love, she is very, very bold, and she scolds Krishna, and she scolds Srimati Radharani, and she teaches Srimati Radharani how to act and how not to let Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, take advantage of her, even though she's so attracted to him, Srimati Radharani, and of course Lalita Devi too. But Lalita Devi, her happiness is to bring Radha and Krishna together, even though she has a loving relationship with Krishna too. Her happiness is just to bring Radha and Krishna together, completely selfless. And this is the characteristic, the prime characteristic of Goloka Vrindavan, that everyone is interested in the happiness of Krishna. So therefore, that which will bring Krishna the most happiness brings them the most happiness. So because Srimati Radharani brings Krishna the most happiness, so therefore everyone is happily trying to unite Radha and Krishna. But of course, the mood of the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a little different. They are just completely devoted to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So she acts very boldly, chastising them. Sometimes Krishna, even as we said, for him being so arrogant, so she acts twice as arrogant. She challenges Krishna. So that's the first verse. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lalita Devi, who has many wonderful qualities. She worships the perspiration. This is her whole life, is serving the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And she acts boldly out of intense feelings of friendship for them. Out of her great love, is very bold and arrogant. Second verse. Rakasulakiran mandalakanti dandi tundasriyam chakita charu chamora netram Radha prasadana vidana kala prasidam devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, the beauty of whose face rebukes or minimizes the full moon's splendor. So the full moon is of course considered very beautiful, and it also is not only beautiful, but it is soothing. So her face is like the full moon, very, very beautiful and very, very soothing and splendid. So then, within the face, there are the eyes. And her eyes are like a frightened doe, or an alarmed, frightened deer. That means they're moving this way and that way. And they're colored brownish. Deer's eyes are brownish. Doe's. So very, very soft, very gentle. But she acts boldly out of her love. And she is famous for artistically decorating whom? She's very, very artistic. She's decorating Srimati Radharani in such a way, with flowers, with jewels, with this cloth, with that, decorating her face for the purpose of making her unlimitedly beautiful. She's already unlimitedly beautiful. And this is her service, and she's famous for doing this very wonderfully. Chaitanya, you want to say anything? What are you doing? You're drawing something? Third verse. Lalola sad bu jagasatru patra chitra. What does chitra mean? Wonderful. This is describing how she dresses. Lalita Devi dresses, because all the different gopis dress in different ways, and they have favorite colors. Patam sukam bharakanchira kanchitanam gorachana ruchi vagarhana gaudimanam devim gunai su lalitam lalitam namami devim gunai su lalitam lalitam namami devim gunai su lalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, Devim Gunai Su Lalitam Lalitam Namami, whose transcendental form is gracefully dressed with a bodice, ornaments, and silk garments that are wonderfully colorful, like the tail of a jubilantly, happily dancing moor. And whose fair complexion rebukes the splendor of Gaurachan. But it is very... Gaurachan means that it is... Gaurimanam. Very, very fair, her complexion. Very light and beautiful. So she especially likes beautiful silk garments, which she wears, that are the colors of a peacock, a dancing peacock's feathers. So spread out, very, very wonderful. Do we have a picture of that anywhere written? Where's Lalita Devi with her garments? And yet, does that mean so?
Yes.
How about that one over there too? This one? How about that? Is that? How about it in that one? Is there any? So what colors are in a peacock feather? A peacock, a dancing peacock's feathers. What colors are present?
Blue and green.
Blue and green? But iridescent blue?
Indigo.
Hmm?
Indigo kind of.
Gold.
Is that there?
Yeah.
Gold leaf from Manila. Maybe. But yeah, gold. Gold, really. Is there any red?
Red.
But especially blues and greenish blues and iridescent. And also on the peacocks, they have this over here sometimes, they have this very, very, is that the indigo? I don't know. So iridescent blue. Quite amazing. And her own complexion is golden. Who else's complexion is golden? Mm-hmm. Dhute vrajendra tanaye tanushustuvamya madakshina vadakalankini langavaya radegiram srinuhitam iti siksayantim devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, who gives the following instructions. Radha, please hear these words. They are for your benefit. Be contrary, be Bhauma, left wing. Be a left wing gopi. When he says yes, you say no. And when he says no, you say yes. Contrary. Be contrary with this Krishna, who is a rogue, who is the prince of Braja. Because everyone in Braja was so attracted to him, especially the young gopis, and he would go from one to the next, charming everyone, stealing their hearts. But of course his heart was taken with Srimati Radharani completely. O dishonored one, do not become gentle and submissive for your own undoing. So these are very intimate pastimes. Here's how it describes in this one. Radhe, firmly reject the son of the king of Raja. Oh, immoral girl, listen. Don't be weak. I'm saying it for your own good. Don't submit to him. So this is how rasa is generated in these ways. Five. So who can understand? Of course, when we read the Bhagavatam, we heard how the queens, yesterday we heard how the queens are just simply thinking of Krishna in the ecstasy of missing him. And they're seeing everything in relationship to him. And they're talking and acting ecstatically and filled with ecstasy. So in that relationship, the most surrendered relationship is the Braja Gopis, even more than the queens of Dwarka. And Krishna enjoys that rasa. He's so captivated. So it is said that sometimes even when he's lying and sleeping with his wives next to him, he's remembering, dreaming about Radharani. And he calls out, Radhe, Radhe, in his sleep. Just imagine how much trouble that will get him in. They want to know who is this Radharani who's captivated his heart. And only Rohini Devi has seen Krishna's pastimes in Braja. And it's interesting when we'll gradually read this chapter which describes the glories, the summary of Krishna's glories. But it's really... It's about Krishna's glories in Dwarka and how his family members were so powerful and the people of Dwarka, the Vishnus, loved him so much. And there's only little hints about Braja. Just little hints as it's summarizing Krishna's pastimes, that actually the Braja pastimes are the highest. So these pastimes are they're difficult to understand. Why are they difficult? Because they so closely resemble the dealings in the material world between young boys and young girls. What is the difference? That those dealings are ultimately extremely unsatisfying. And these dealings in the highest ecstasy, and there's not a trace of Atmendriya Priti. This is all Krishna Indriya Priti. They're all, everything is meant to satisfy Lila Prasottam Krishna's to satisfy him, and he is the center, he is the moon of Braja. So Lalita, of course, she's in Braja. So now fifth verse. Radam abhi vajapati kritam atmajena kutam anagapi velokya vilohitakshyam vagbhangabhistam acharena velajaman velajayantim devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, who seeing him, even slightly, Krishna, even seeing him, even slightly cheat or trick Sri Radha, with reddened eyes in anger, she shames and criticizes the Prince of Braja with floods of words. So this is the bold, even arrogant Lalita Devi. So chastise Krishna if he takes advantage of Srimati Radharani in any way, even slightly. So chastise him with reddened eyes. How are you doing this? How are you doing this, Krishna? And chastises him and chastises him. And this is great pleasure for Krishna, because the words of chastisement, like the arrows of Bhishma Dev, as described in the ninth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the arrows of Bhishma Dev were received by Krishna like the intimate dealings with one's beloved, even though they were painful in one sense. Krishna would take those arrows, and even though Krishna has no blood like we have blood, blood would come out just to bring out the rasa for Bhishma, which is so much immersed in chivalry. So he would accept Krishna so amazing, because even if arrows are shot at him with devotion and love, he accepts that, because Bhishma is one of the Mahasiddhas. So Lalita Devi, she shoots her words, heavy words at Krishna in the protection and service of Srimati Radharani. And those words are accepted by Krishna because they are offered with such love. And in this way, again, the rasa continues. Vatsaya vinda vasatim pasupala rajya sakyanu sikshana kalas Sugarum Sakinam Radhabalam Rajabajitir Nevasesham Devim Gunaisu Lalitam Lalitam Namami Devim Gunaisu Lalitam Lalitam Namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, who is the abode where the Queen of the Gopas places her love. Who is the Queen of the Gopas? This is talking about Yasoda Devi. So Yasoda Mayi loves her so much. Who is the teacher of the arts of friendship to her friends, and who considers Sri Radha Krishna as dear as her life. This translation is: I offer my obeisances to Lalita Devi, who has many wonderful qualities. She is the abode of affection for the queen of the cowherders, Yasoda. And she is the teacher of the art of friendship for all the sakis. And her love for Sri Radha and Krishna is equal. That's how it's translated here, without distinction. As dear as her life. Both of them she loves. Kam api vajakule visabhanujaya Priksha sapaksha padavim manurujyamanam sadyastarishta gatanena kritartayantim devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami devim gunaisu lalitam lalitam namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, all of whose desires became at once completely fulfilled when she saw in Braja the path of Sri Radha blocked by a certain person. Because, so Srimati was going down the road and there was Krishna blocking her path and not letting her go further, and Krishna was teasing her, and that brought the greatest happiness to Lalita Devi, because her happiness was bringing Radha and Krishna together. So that's one of the miraculous things about Braja, is that the love of Radha and Krishna is ever fresh, and time serves the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that means that they're always trying to meet for the first time, and they're always meeting, but they're always trying to meet for the first time. And there's always so many obstacles, such as the different family members and Radharani's so-called husband and Jotila, Kotila, all the different in-laws. They're always trying to stop her and always trying to catch her from saying that she has love for Krishna. But it's going on eternally. There's such intense desires in the heart of Radharani to meet with Krishna, Krishna to meet with Radharani for the first time, because they've seen each other and they just want to only out of the corner of their eyes at first. So this is continuously going on. They want to meet for the first time. And they do meet. But it's continuously going on that they have this desire. It remains ever fresh. So there's never a feeling of, oh, I've already met and now what's next. So, quite wonderful. So when Lalita Devi sees Radharani's path, she's so blocked by Krishna, she's so happy. So there's another meaning of this verse too. And here's the other meaning. I offer my obeisances to Lalita Devi, who has many wonderful qualities. She requests every girl in Braja to join the party of Vrishabhanu, and who fulfills all desires of that girl, or Sri Radhika. So what that means is that anyone in Braja who has the desire to serve Srimati Radharani, that Lalita Devi will fulfill that desire. So when devotees have desires like that, they pray to Lalita Devi to allow them to be servants of Srimati Radharani. Because by Lalita's mercy, because Radharani is submissive to Lalita, because Lalita Devi is 27 tithis, 27 lunar days, periods, elder to Radharani. So, and her nature is very strong, and Srimati Radharani's nature is in the middle. Chandravali's nature is right wing, which means very submissive. Radharani's in the middle, and Lalita Devi is Prakar or Malma, very extreme on that side, very, very strong and unsubmissive. So Radharani is submissive to Lalita Devi. So if Lalita Devi writes our name in her book, then we'll be accepted by Srimati Radharani. And she's asking everyone in Braja, all the girls, to join the party of Vrishabhanu's daughter. Then the final verse in this, and then a Phala Shruti. Rajabhajendra Sutta Sagama Rangacharyam Varyam Minastitavatim Akilotsavibhya Tam Gokula Priyasaki Nikuramba Mukhyam Devim Gunaisu Lalitam Lalitam Namami Devim Gunaisu Lalitam Lalitam Namami. I offer my respectful obeisances to charming and virtuous Lalita Devi, who is the first of Radha's friends in Gokul, and for whom the meeting of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna is the greatest of jubilant festivals. That's her enjoyment, and that is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world, right? In a very simple understanding, is that in the material world, everyone wants to be the enjoyer, and their happiness is their own enjoyment. And in the material world, if there is a beautiful, most beautiful girl, Radharani, or a most beautiful boy, Krishna, we want to be the enjoyer of that beautiful boy or beautiful girl. And even when we desire, oh, I want to go Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, the center, until we are pure, perform pure devotional service on a high level, is always me. But the exalted devotees don't have that mood. They have the mood of service, the serving mood. They want to please others. So here, virtuous Lalita Devi, the number one friend of Srimati Rani, what's her happiness is the meeting of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That is her festival, and that causes her the most jubilation. So the process of devotional service is the process of turning towards Krishna, the process of material life and engaging in materialistic selfish activities is the process of turning away from Krishna. And if we continue to engage in material activities, we continue to deepen our turning away from Krishna. And if we continue to serve Krishna and chant properly and serve the devotees, then our turning to Krishna increases. Going from Bahirmukh to Sammukh is the process of devotional service, turning our face to Krishna, to beautiful Krishna, to wonderful Krishna, to Krishna's devotees. And the final verse, Nandana Muni Lalita Guna Lalitani Padyaniya Patat Dinamala Dustiasto Pritya Vikarshati Janam Nizavendamande Tam Kutida Patikulo Kulo Zula Kaupavali. Srimati Radharani, the splendid desire vine in the family of King Vrishabhanu, lovingly accepts amongst her own associates a person who happily and with pure vision reads and hears these eight verses describing the charming virtues of Sri Lalita. That's the spiritual world. When Srimati Radharani hears Lalita Devi being glorified, or someone appreciating the glories of Lalita Devi, then she is happy. There is no enmity. She doesn't think, oh, why are they glorifying Lalita? Why aren't they glorifying me? Rather, just the opposite. Srimati Radharani loves everyone who belongs to Krishna and who Krishna belongs to. And she thinks, oh, I'm not a devotee. But here's a devotee. Oh, Krishna, oh, Shama, oh, Madhava, oh, Mukunda, please accept this one. This one is so much a better devotee than me. So Srimati Radharani is the most humble. And she feels herself more than anyone needing the mercy of Krishna, needing to please Krishna. When we're proud, we don't want to please anyone. We think that we want, again, we think we're capable of enjoying. We deserve to enjoy. Any questions or comments? Would anyone like to say anything about Lalita Devi at all? In glorification of Lalita Devi. I would like to enable now tell a little bit of a story of one day, right? There is a hill right outside of Lalita Devi's, not the place where she was born, but the place where she grew up. Where was she born? Some place named Kaveri. They say in Uttaran too, but they also say in another place, Karela or something. Did you hear that?
for different things. So that, but also those other things, contradictory things.
If she was born in Nottingham. In any case, she grew up in Utsikana, right outside of the hill of Utsikana. There's another hill, of course, that's close to Varshana. There's another hill called Sakigiri, a little hill. And there, so many pastimes took place between Krishna and all the Vajagopis, very wonderful pastimes. And there's one time that, what happened? Krishna's Pitambar?
There's one place there where there's a small shrine, and there's a stone in the shila, a big long shila inside the shrine, and has some crimson kind of marks on it. And if you rub your cloth, you put some water on the stone, and you rub your cloth, crimson will come off on your cloth. And that's very, very good. It's a place where
like children,
yes,
playing.
Krishnamurti Radharani ties together the sari of Radha and Arunita and Krishna and puts some colour on their feet. And
just like a marriage.
Yeah.
And who performed that marriage? And Srimati Radharani did that. And Lalita Devi was so embarrassed.
And there are marks on top of the hill where there's going to be the toy, the bale fruits that they used to bounce and play with in those children. And
all the holy places are on that hill. And one time, Lalita Devi, and when Krishna stopped the gopis, when they were, and the cowherd boys stopped and they were going to bring some milk products for the sacrifice being held by the disciple of Gauga Muni, who was Magori Muni. So they were going, and Krishna stopped them, and he exacted, he said he wanted to take taxes from them. Except that's probably Varshana.
Mm.
Probably. Because they always do that, those kind of things. Is that Varshana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this place, right by Govardhan.
Mm.
And then and the next day, the gopis got even. They gave them trouble, and the next day thousands of gopis came, and they took Krishna, and it's right by Dandavartinakund. They took Krishna, and especially the boys, and Lalita Devi insulted them all, and they tied the seekers of the boys, Madhu Mangal, the seekers, the trees, so they couldn't get them out. They entangled them in this way, and they gave them so much trouble. And Lalita Devi was always chastising, always very strong, always to protect Srimati Radharani, and always to increase the different taste in the lila, in the pastimes.
And one day, Krishna told Radha that you have to be really careful with Nagamani, because he's a very dangerous personality. And she was very shocked. And she disbelieved him, and he said, you should be very careful with Narada because he's always creating quarrels. He likes to create dissension, so be very careful. And she didn't believe him. And then, soon after that, Narada went to a place near an underground called Lalita Kund. And there Lalita Devi was sitting, and she was stringing garlands, and each time she'd string a garland, and then she'd look at the garland like this, and she'd look at it, and then she'd break it, and she'd start again.
Why did she do that?
And he was watching, and she broke some of the garlands and stabbed again. He said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm making a garland for Krishna, but when I look at it, it just doesn't look the right size. It doesn't look nice enough, so I break it. Make another one. So Narada said, well, there's a simple thing you can do. You can bring Krishna here, and then he can come, and then you can leave the garland on him, and then it would be the right length, and everything would be right. And so he said, I'll get him. So then he arranged for Krishna to come. So Krishna came to the Lalita, and Narada said, please sit. You know, Lalita wants to check the garland. And so Krishna's sitting there. And then Narada said to Krishna, you know, one time you offered me a benediction, that was a desire of mine, and you never fulfilled it. And so I was thinking that today perhaps you could fulfill my desire. Mm-hmm. And so Krishna said, what would you like? And he said, I would like you to sit down on the swing, and beside you, Lalita Devi. And Krishna said, oh, I don't know. I'm dead. And the Lalita Devi said, no. And I said, no, please, you promise me. So finally, Krishna sat down very carefully on the swing, and Lalita Devi sat on the swing. And I said, just wait, just swing gently, quietly, for a few moments. And then he disappeared. And he went to Java, where Mati Radharani was.
He didn't do this, did he?
He did. And he started singing, Jai Lalita Krishna, Jai Lalita Krishna. Srimati Radharani, what is this? And she was offering this, and he said, oh, you haven't seen Krishna. He's at Lalita Kund, and he's swinging on a swing with Lalita, and he was so handsome, and so attractive, and they're having such a good time. And Srimati Radharani said, no, he wouldn't do that. And he said, oh, yes, he is, he really is. He said, no. And he said, come and have a look. And so then Srimati Radharani came running to where they were, and she saw them sitting on the swing, swinging backwards and forwards. And she became so upset with Krishna, and she became so angry, and she turned around to leave, and Lalita Devi jumped off the swing and tried to explain everything. And then finally Krishna said, he understood what had happened. He said, now do you understand that you should be very careful with Narada? But he loves to create
rasa. Quarrels.
And there's still a drawn at that place. There's a temple of Lalita Devi, and there's a swing.
Anyone else have something to say about Lalita Devi? In all the different, prayers and pastimes that are written about Braja by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lalita Devi always is very prominent.
Rupa Goswami wrote a book called Hansa Buddha, and the basis of the book is a conversation between Lalita Devi and a beautiful white swan. This is after Krishna had left for Mathura, and one day when he got him, when Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends were down by the Jamuna, because Radharani was feeling so much separation from Krishna, she fainted. And so in great despair, Lalita Devi went to get some water from the Jamuna to revive her. And while she was at the Jamuna, she saw this exquisitely beautiful white swan. And she thought that this swan actually would be a suitable person, a suitable messenger, to send an urgent message to Krishna, to tell Krishna what it was like now that he had left me within the Mathura. And so she started to speak to the swan and explain to the swan everything. So please fly immediately to Mathura and give this message on our behalf to Krishna and tell him. And she filled the message with so many different poignant examples of Srimati Radharani's separation and her mood in his absence. And at one stage, she, in that mood, of that angry mood, she said, and she spoke to him in his 10 incarnations of Dasavatar. And she said things like, oh, you know, you are just like Poma, you have a hard, hard shell, you know, and therefore you don't mind if you put Srimati Radharani into all the difficulty. And each one, you're like Nisringa, you're full of, you know, hard nails and you're so cool. And, you know, and she spoke these very sweet but very angry words at Krishna for not coming back and leaving Srimati Radharani. And in there also, she lamented at one point how she had always made it her service to keep Radha and Krishna apart, to tell Radharani, don't smile at him too much, don't give in to him too easily because of that advantage of you. You know, turn your head this way, do this, do that, hide the flute, feel the flute. And she was lamenting now that Krishna was not there, that she had always done this. But it was all completely transcendental. Her love is expressed through the instructions to the swan. And some commentators say that actually the swan was Krishna entertaining the swan to hear these beautiful lamentations and full of love from the gopis, especially from the visitors.
Lalita Devi ki
jai.
Did you finish your packing?